T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, it's the last hour of the week here in the huddle on Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock hour here with Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo. So if you want to join the conversation for this week and comment on what's going on in the NBA with Kawhi Leonard, what's going on at the U.S. Open, Dustin Johnson with the lead right now at 4 under par. What's going on in the World Cup soccer? Talk about that as well. NFL news, off-season news. You can give us a call in this next hour at 844-477-3776 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. But at 3 o'clock, as we always do, let's get to our three questions of the day. All right, we're going to talk a little football, a little golf, a little baseball today on three questions. Lonzo, question number one.
All right, Panthers linebacker Thomas Davis now says he is very open to the possibility of playing beyond the season. What are the chances that TD returns in 2019?
Richmond, what do you think? Thomas Davis beyond this season, which he said would be his last.
Yeah, I think it's all going to depend, we talked about it a little bit, on what he does this season and how it looks at the end of the year, what type of season the Panthers have, how productive he is. So there's so many variables right now. So chances, so that means, from my eyes, my perspective, sounds like I'm supposed to pick a percentage.
Sure, pick
right?
a percentage.
Okay. I'm going to say there's a 30% chance he comes back.
Only 30.
In 2019.
You said the possibility is very open. Only 30. He's going to feel different at the end of the year than he does now.
He said the possibility, he's open.
Yeah. Okay.
That didn't sound like, hey, the possibility looks very good for me to come back in 2019.
It's different than saying what he did say, and that's, this is my last year.
I'm
different.
Open,
right.
Or, yeah, it looks really good. That's all why right. I'm going 30%.
Lonzo, what do you think?
I'm going 100%. And here's the reason why. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Thomas Davis is a very proud man. I mean, he's proud of what he does on and off the field. I think this hurts his legacy, and I think he's all about leaving a lasting impression on everybody, and I don't think he wants to go out with a suspension as part of his final season. So I think he comes back for sure in 2019, and that will be it.
All right, I'll split the difference and go 50-50. I agree with you, Alonzo. I don't think he wants to end on a year where he misses four games on a suspension. He's got to be embarrassed by that. You know, because Thomas Davis is a character guy. He's one of those guys that's seen as a big leader on the team. He's not one of those bad apples. So a suspension really sticks in his craw, I think. The other part of it is it's four games less wear and tear on his body this year. So maybe he feels a little less worn down at the end of this season than he normally would, as long as he can stay healthy. But I do think at the end of the season, he's talking off-season stuff now, I think what he should do is at the end of the year, not make an immediate decision, take some time, get the soreness out, you know, start feeling a little better in a few weeks, and then make the call. But right now, I think it's a good possibility. He's 35 years old. That's not ancient.
Yeah. And I think there's a possibility, is based on the production of the season, he could come out and go gangbusters in those 12 games, and then is there somewhat of a redemption that happens, that even though he was suspended, but he played so well, the Panthers, you know, have a great run, have a great season.
Yep.
That could supersede the negativity that you see with a suspension, the black eye, so to speak.
On the other hand, if they have a great run, it's not going to be 12 games. There are going to be playoff games added to it, too. So, you know, that's more wear and tear on the body. But that will, I agree. If they have a horrible year, they're under 500, they don't get in the playoffs, he's probably going to say, all right, that's enough of this.
But no, I think it might be the other way.
You really do.
That
I
it would be that if they have a real bad season, that then it really ties into his legacy that, hey, part of the reason they had a bad season is because what Thomas Davis did, got suspended, and he didn't have a good year.
Okay, I
so
get that.
now I've got to come back to try to redeem myself. But if he has a blowout year and the Panthers do really well and there's no negative effect of the four-game suspension,
mm-hmm.
then I think it's easier for him to walk away.
All right, 30, 50, and 100. One of us has it covered, I think.
Yes, I think so.
All right, question two, Lonzo.
All right, will the winning score at the U.S. Open be better than four under par, which is where Dustin Johnson is right now today?
Yep.
I think these guys are starting to figure out the course a little bit. And as long as Dustin maintains and does a little bit better, he'll be more than that. I'm saying yes. I'm going to go with yes.
I will, too. I don't think it'll be much lower than that. Maybe five or six. But I think Dustin will continue to play well. I mean, nobody else is really putting the pressure on there. Is it still even par at number two? Is that where it is? Four shots back. So,
yes.
You know, for somebody else on this course to go below four under par seems a little unlikely. Yeah, Poulter's at even par. Hoffman's at plus one. You know, he just went to even. So two guys at par and Casey's at plus one. But I will say yes, maybe five or six wins it. What do you think, Richmond?
Well, as we've seen, the typical scenario here is that you steal my answers. And so
I looked on your sheet over there. You had it all written out. Your script was written out over there.
And I agree with you 100% that somebody's going to be above that, but just barely. And I think I was going to say six under would probably be the highest that I would suspect that it would be for a winner. But I am going to say yes, just over.
Somebody, not just Dustin. Somebody else could go. Somebody else could gain six plus strokes in the next 2 days on that course.
That the winning score.
I know.
Yeah.
But for anybody else to do it, it's got to be six plus
strokes.
No,
I'm not saying that anybody else will do it.
Just Dustin.
Keep in mind, yeah. you had someone go 66 today. Fleetwood went 66, and Dustin went 67. So, I mean, if they continue to do that, at least in Johnson's case, get lower and lower there.
Hard to continue to do when you're lighting up that course, though. But all right. We all kind of like that. All right, number three, Lonzo.
All right, Tim Tebow is batting 238.
He might be battling as well.
Let me go. I'm just laughing because it's a Tebow question. I can't wait to see.
And the way this is worded. Just wait till you hear this question.
No.
Who wrote these things?
You haven't been here long enough to realize how much someone really loves Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is batting 238 at Binghamton so far this season. How long before he gets moved up?
I get to go first on this one?
Yes, you do.
Yes, I did write the snarky question.
Yeah, and because I think you can pick up pretty quickly your thoughts on Tebow.
All last year, it's 10 points higher than he batted last year, and he kept getting moved up. So they got to move him up, right? But here's the problem Tebow has. The Tebow effect is wearing down. The attendance at Binghamton last year averaged 3,289 fans a game. This year with Tebow, they're averaging 2,973 fans a game. They're down 300 people a game with Tim Tebow. So that's a little bit of an issue, but not enough. Tebow is still a guy that moves the needle, and the Mets organization is still the Mets organization. And so I say he moves up. Look, we're in mid-June. Minor league seasons are typically over by the end of August, right, roughly?
Yes.
So 2.5 months for it to happen, and we haven't heard any real buzz on that yet, have we? We haven't heard any real buzz on Tebow. This has been a quiet Tebow year so far. Batting 238 didn't hurt last year when he was batting 228. But I think before the end of this season that they will bump him up. All the way to the Mets, I'm not quite ready to say that yet. Although, look, I mean, the Mets are not very
good. I know, if you look
at
the standings and the Mets continue this free fall.
Yeah. I mean, if they just want to start drawing some fans because they have nothing else to draw the fans in. Right now, the Mets are 10.5 out behind the Braves. They are 28-37, 10.5 games out. Gets much worse than that? Who knows? Are they above moving the guy up unjustifiably to bring fans in?
No, because
they're not above it.
They're not above it. And at the end of the day, if you are so far out of it, and why wouldn't you? And then you can really definitively put him in a position of playing in the majors and finally get the answer. Is he good enough?
Can he hit
to
major
play?
League pitching?
Exactly. And there's no harm in it because they wouldn't be in a race. They wouldn't be in contention. So put him out there and see what happens.
It's So you think he moves up at least. He's in double A now. He at least moves up. So he's going to go to triple A this year? What do you think?
I've got an answer now, don't I?
You do.
Well, it just says how long before he gets moved up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but that was kind of snarky.
There was. I know.
Say he won't get moved up if you want.
Yeah, I'm not certain that he does. But for all intents and purposes, for this question, I'll say it would be mid-August he gets moved up.
All right. Lonzo, they moving Tebow up this year?
Yes, they're moving him up this year from the beginning. And Mr. McKinney has made fun of this the entire time. I have said that he will make it to the majors. And he's continued to move up over and over again. And G-Mac is unhappy with it every time because he can't believe that they're doing it. For whatever reason they're doing it, they're moving him up, and he's definitely going to the show before he's done. Even if it's one at-bat at the show, he's going to go. And, yes, he's going to move up maybe in the next couple weeks.
Couple weeks?
Yeah. It's time to make that move now. Go ahead and move him up.
Yeah, if you want to get him to the big leagues, then you got to make that triple-A move first. So you need to kind of go do that pretty soon, right? So move him up, guys. 238, man. He had a double the other night. Move him up.
Move him up just for defensive purposes.
What?
Right?
Speed.
He's a great outfielder.
All right, so Tebow goes up. Some point this year from the Rumble Ponies. Rumble Ponies getting ready to lose Tebow, we all agree, with his 238 batting
average. And the only people that it's going to upset are the baseball purists that feel that, he's only getting special treatment.
Me.
Because of he's Tim Tebow and all these guys that are grinding year in,
and they're
year
batting
out,
300. And
they never get to move up.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't bother you at all.
Do your little crying.
Oh.
Yeah, the whining.
A preferential treatment happens in every single form of business. That's
just
life.
Lonzo.
There's always someone who's a golden boy and can do no wrong or get moved up.
And I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying that's life. It's happened to me.
I think it's weird I stopped talking and the whining stopped.
You got moved up?
No, I didn't get moved up.
You didn't deserve it?
Well, you already said it now. I'm making a promo out of that.
You're the Tebow of the show.
Yes,
exactly. All right,
got no talent, and I'm sitting in this chair over here.
I don't think that's what you meant, but that's where it is now with us. That's where we have you pegged. Thank you for that. 844-GSP-ESPN. Going to hear from John Harbaugh, not Jim. Talk about Lamar Jackson with the Ravens coming up. Stay with us, The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. Friday Huddle, ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo. Phone lines open 844-477-3776. Got a couple calls in here in this final hour of the show today. It'll be Joe first. Joe, welcome into the huddle. What's up today?
Hello. I feel like you're hating on Tim Tebow, man.
Yeah. I don't hate.
He's a great athlete, man. He's made it to the top level of two different sports.
Well, wait a minute. The top
He's
level?
He's won a Heisman.
Yeah.
Well, almost.
What two sports did he make to the top level of? Just from so I'll know.
Well, he played for Denver. He won a playoff game.
Yeah, football. All right. What's the
other? He hasn't made it quite in baseball, but still good.
You saying college football isn't a major sport? College football is a major sport. He was right. That's two.
Well, he didn't make it top level.
The dedication it takes to be at that level in any sport, much less two or three.
I'm with you there, but he didn't make it to the top level of the NFL. He made it to the NFL, but he didn't make it to the. I mean, he didn't succeed in the NFL.
Wait. There are guys that play in the NFL for years and never win a playoff game. Tim Tebow won that game.
Was an elite NFL player.
Exactly right.
That's what y'all are telling me.
But anyhow, man, I like Tim Tebow.
I know you.
I like his religion. I don't think it matters what he believes, or I just love the guy. You know, he plays hard. I just like him.
Okay, and that's fair enough. I'm not telling you not to like him. I'm telling you he's batting 238. That's what I'm telling you.
And my perspective is that elite level. He's made it to the highest level in a particular sport, in one sport. That's football. He made it to the NFL. That's as high as you can go.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you're playing, you're starting, that's the top level in football.
Yeah, I think the way he worded it was two sports, right?
Yeah, and he hasn't done it in two sports because he hasn't done it in baseball. He's got to get to the major leagues in baseball. He hasn't done that yet.
Went farther in baseball than a lot of people make it to. I mean, you know, I'm just saying he's jumping from level to level on sheer talent alone.
Slip back from the desk because lightning is coming down.
Yes, it is.
Jeremy is next in the huddle. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome in.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing good, man.
I am actually a Mets fan. Been a Mets fan for 34 of my 43 years.
Yeah.
So when you bring up Tebow and he's hitting 238, I say in the Mets, that's kind of like bringing up Tony Gwynn. we have a team where the Mendoza line is a career goal. So 238 is pretty impressive for the Mets. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah. Do you think they bring him up? Really?
Because of the way the season has gone, I don't think they have a choice. They've pretty much flushed this year down, so you might as well give them a chance while the year's pathetic. But other than that, has he earned it? It's hard to say. You know, he probably needs a couple more years to see if this is real, but they'll probably bring him up because the year's quickly slipping away from him.
He'll be 40 in a couple of years. All right, I'm exaggerating.
I know. Not quite that bad, but it feels like it. But then again, so is Roy Hobbs. So hey.
Thank you, Jeremy. All right, yeah. I mean, look, I'm not arguing that they might not bring him up. I'm not arguing that they might not do that.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about. I mean, Jeremy nailed it, is that based on the situation with the Mets year right now and how it's going, if they continue this free fall, why would you not bring him up? And, again, you can put an end to the question, can Tebow play in the major leagues? You can bring him up and find out.
I don't know if you can put an end to it. You can say he did play, but he still didn't earn it.
I think it bothers you that every time you bring up Tebow, we get great interest.
Oh, yeah. It lights up the phones, man.
It just did, didn't it?
And you're mad that he didn't earn it.
I'm not mad.
Well, that's what frustrates you.
I'm not mad.
This
but y'all, you know,
notion
act
that
like,
he has to earn it.
Y'all act like he did earn it. What'd he do?
How is he not? So you're telling me that...
Who else batting 238 in the minors is going to get moved up to the major leagues?
Would have to go see. I'd love to know that.
Go find
stat.
Me one.
I'd love to know if there's ever been anybody that has made it to the major leagues that batted 238 in the minors. I would suspect that there probably has.
I think you got to love someone who dreams big and is able to achieve that dream. I think that should be something you should be able to get behind. I don't understand why you don't.
Here's the other thing, and I know this doesn't matter because this is – comparing AA to the majors, but his team, the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, have the second lowest attendance in the Eastern League this year at 2,973 fans a game. Everybody else except one team, the Erie Seawolves, is the only team drawing less fans right now in that league.
What are the records of those
teams? I don't have
the
records. I don't think that's we've talked good, about that before. It does not matter. It's minor league baseball. It matters not what your
record is.
Winning
changes attendance.
Not in minor league baseball.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Winning changes attendance in any sport.
Modestly, but not
any
significantly.
Sport. Any sport. It will change.
It's not what it's about. It's about the Tebow effect. And is it lost? Is he going to bring fans? Will major league fans come out in droves to see Tim Tebow with the Mets? I mean, I'm not making a comment on that one way or the other. I'm asking that question.
Yes,
will they come out in significant numbers and really pop the attendance for the Mets this year if they're out of the race and they bring Tebow up for a few games? What's going to happen?
There will be an influx, but I don't think it's going to be this magical change in attendance.
Jaded
for the
New
Mets
York
for a
fans
long
now,
period of time.
Not you know, SEC fans, but jaded New York City baseball fans. They're going to run out to see Tebow.
Probably not in New York, but if the Mets are on the road in the South.
Okay, so when they play the Braves, you'll draw a crowd.
You're going to see.
In Florida. Go play the Marlins.
That's right.
They'll come out to see Tebow. All right. I'm going to get to the Harbaugh talking about Lamar Jackson, but let's go ahead and get our break in here. 844-477-3776. Back in a moment in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Still no one really gaining a lot of ground on Dustin Johnson at the U.S. Open. He's got the four-shot lead. He finished at minus four today. Ian Poulter and Charlie Hoffman are at even par. They're both still on the course. Poulter on hole number seven. Hoffman on number five. Tommy Fleetwood at plus one. He's finished for the day. Had the 66. Stenson, Casey at plus one. And a bunch of guys, including Justin Rose and Ricky Fowler, are at plus two. Let's see. The cut line is still at plus seven. And Jordan Spieth is sitting at eight over. So he needs some help. Phil Mickelson, eight over. He needs some help. Lucas Glover, nine over, and he's finished, so he's just got to hope the cut line moves a couple more shots, which may be a little bit too much to ask. Tiger Woods finished with a 72 today at plus 10, so Tiger's almost certainly done for the tournament, and we'll wait and see if the cut line moves anymore. But Spieth and Mickelson still have a chance to play on the weekend. We'll see if they're able to finish up strong and do that. Dustin Johnson, South Carolina guy. He is leading the U.S. Open in New York this afternoon. Lamar Jackson, now with the Baltimore Ravens, formerly with the Louisville Cardinals in the college football ranks. And he ended up running the show at minicamp for the Ravens this week. The final tune-up before training camp, Lamar Jackson took every rep of team drills, quarterbacked the first, second, and third teams. And he responded with his best day throwing for the spring. John Harbaugh, his coach, said he's taken a big step in the right direction, likes what he sees from Lamar.
He knows a lot, but he also knows what he doesn't know, which is the type of an offense and the type of systems that he's going to be exposed to in this league are far different than what he did in college. It's just a different game. And I think plus side is his head coach at Louisville is one of the best offensive coaches in football. So he's been exposed to the concepts. But the play calls were so much different, the way it was organized. So he's just gone to work. He's done a good job. You saw him out here today. He ran almost the whole practice today. And that's a big step in the right direction.
Yeah, Jackson's biggest challenge has been consistency. He has shown great anticipation on some throws, and then he sailed some passes over a running back's head on the next throw. Yesterday, he connected on deep passes along the sideline, excelled in the red zone. One of his best throws was a 12-yard touchdown pass in the back of the end zone. But he declined to grade himself. Jackson said, it's been good. I'll give you that. Early in the week, the offensive coordinator, Marty Mortenweg, came up with a plan to give the entire practice to Jackson. That's been an adjustment for Jackson. He did not play center, under center, regularly at Louisville. And he did not have to relay any long play calls in the huddle. Harbaugh says putting pressure on him to run the whole practice was valuable. But there's still no quarterback controversy. It's still Joe Flacco. Anyway, he's going to play some this year, though, right? I mean, Lamar Jackson could be one of those rookie quarterbacks that gets significant playing time this year, I think.
An aspect as far as there's not enough really film on him. And so can he come out and create some... I don't know if the right word is distractions, but something that people haven't seen and diversions and be able to a different type of look that's out there rather than, you know, how they're going to game plan for Joe Flacco, but are they going to have certain packages available for Lamar Jackson that teams are not going to be ready for?
See, I know what you're saying, but at the same time, don't you think maybe this is a message to Flacco? Because he's been kind of stagnant, and so have the Ravens the last couple years, showing him, hey, this guy can run practice, and if you don't light a fire under your butt, you could be replaced.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's not a bad thing to do because the Ravens have been a little flat. They still have RG3, too. Don't forget about that. But they'll keep, not every NFL team keeps three quarterbacks, but I bet Baltimore does with those guys, unless they get rid of RG3. They're not getting rid of Lamar Jackson.
They're not getting rid of Lamar Jackson, no. If anything, they would get rid of RG3.
Yeah. Yeah. Jackson made a strong first impression with his teammates. Wide receiver Chris Moore has said he's in awe every time Lamar Jackson takes off running. And linebacker C.J. Mosley describes Lamar as a young Michael Vick. We've heard that comparison before. Flacco was on the side for the final day of minicamp, but he is going to organize some extra throwing sessions with his receivers this year. And it'll be the first time he's done that since 2011, so maybe somebody is getting his attention. He's got Michael Crabtree, John Brown, and Willie Snead. Flacco says he thinks it'll be a lot of fun. and kind of develop a little more timing over that. That comes after Harbaugh and GM Ozzie Newsome both publicly talked this offseason about the value of additional workouts, how they help a quarterback and receivers mesh, and Ravens fans have been clamoring for Flacco to throw to his receivers outside of practices. This could be the season for him to get his receivers together. Among the 19 wide receivers and tight ends on the roster, 12 are in their first year with the Ravens. How about that? 12 out of 19 first-year receivers with the Ravens.
Yeah, I think that's why it's imperative that he does get some extra time away from quote-unquote practice to develop that relationship and the timing of because they have so many new faces.
Of course, the other guy that's new to the Ravens, Hayden Hurst, tight end out of South Carolina. So it'll be in his best interest to get those quarterbacks throwing the ball well. So that's going to be one of the fascinating offseason stories, I think, to see how Lamar Jackson fits in and how much playing time he gets and where he stacks up with RG3, especially for that number two position. But he ran the entire final mini camp himself and apparently ran it well. All reports are good on that. Got a suspension in the NFL. It is Donald Stevenson, tackle with the Cleveland Browns. He's going to be suspended without pay for the first two games of this season, substance abuse policy. He'll miss games against Pittsburgh and New Orleans, pretty significant games. He will miss those games at home. He can participate in all offseason and preseason practices and games. He was not at minicamp this week, and Coach Hugh Jackson said Stevenson would be fined for his absence. ProFootballTalk.com said those fines would total $84,435. Stevenson played in Kansas City from 2012 to 2015, Denver the past two seasons, and he joined the Browns in March with a one-year, $2.5 million contract. He's played a good bit in the NFL. He started 37 games. His role with the Browns remains to be determined, but he can play both tackle spots. But Donald Stevenson suspended without pay for two games for 2018. I'm sure we're not done with that.
Speaking of which, Cowboys defensive tackle David Irving suspended.
Same thing?
Yep.
How many games for him?
Four. Look at Richmond. He's unhappy.
No, it's just amazing that, I mean, obviously it's no good when it's the Cowboys, but there's more and more of these suspensions coming down. We're seeing more and more of this.
See, I don't think so. We need to check into and find out how many there are per year. It seems like there's a ton of them every year, and it's just no one really cares because it's the NFL. Unless it affects your team, it's so much the norm, I don't think it's that big of
really,
news.
Really, it seems more right now to me.
Don't know the stats on it, but we certainly had a lot of them last year too. I mean, it's the summertime story every year, you know. Who's in trouble? Who's getting suspended for PEDs? Who's out at bars too late? All that stuff. All this stuff happens every year. I need to go to arrestnation.com to check on the arrests here because that's the website that tracks that for athletes and see who the latest are there. But, yeah, don't know if it's been more, but it's been plenty. And, you know, there's a couple new ones just today to add to the list. All right, if you want to get in for the final segment, 844-477-3776, the text line is 71307, and Twitter is at ESPN Upstate. We'll come back and wrap it up for the week and the day. Final segment of the huddle on the way next from ESPN Upstate. Update on the World Cup. Portugal's tied it up with Spain. 3-3, and it continues. And Uruguay won 1-0 over Egypt earlier today. So there's your World Cup update. Break it down for us, Richmond.
I'm just going to leave my microphone off. How about that?
Uh-huh. Cristiano Ronaldo, easy for me to say, became the oldest player to score a hat trick in World Cup history when they tied it up. So, hat trick is three goals. I know that
he's
much.
Good.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I didn't realize that.
Pretty good. But we'll see where it ends up. So, if you go to a sports bar, just expect it to be everywhere. That's all I got to say.
I would imagine right now the sports bars are packed.
Rocking with soccer
yes,
fans.
Because that is a big matchup, Portugal and Spain.
Yeah.
Because of the two players.
Yeah, no question. All right. The Braves did win yesterday 4-2, and so they hang on to first place in the National League East. They beat the Padres. Nice outing from Anibal Sanchez for the Braves. 7 scoreless innings, no walks, and 6 strikeouts. So their lead is 3 straight wins for the Braves now. They're hot again. And they have a game and a half lead over the Nationals. And you were talking about this yesterday when the Braves got to 40 wins. And I found the stat on that from our friend Grant McCauley, who covers the Braves in Atlanta. We've had him on several times on the show. They won their 40th game yesterday. They have the second best record in the National League right now. How quickly they have reached 40 wins over the last 5 years. So this year, they reached that mark, 40 wins, in game number 68. Last year, it was game number 81. That's fairly significant, right? 2 years ago, it took them to game 110 to reach 40 wins.
That's ugly.
That's ugly year, yeah. In 2015, it was game 81, and in 2014, it was game 77. So they have significantly won the race to 40 wins this year over the past 5 years, significantly.
Yeah, and I think we found out, too, it was the last time they got to 40 wins this early in June. It was 2014, and did you say that as well? Maybe Grant talked about that also.
No,
but
I think
that's
only,
what we found out.
Yeah,
also.
We only went back 4 years or whatever. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. They continue to get it done, so. The Braves with a game-and-a-half lead, and we'll see if they have that when we come out of the weekend. Remains to be seen. College World Series, of course, starts up tomorrow in Omaha. We had Tom Hart on from ESPN and the SEC Network yesterday talking about what he expects. And we talked a little bit about Luke Heimlich. Luke Heimlich is the pitcher for Oregon State, and he's the guy. Do you remember this from last year? He did not play in the postseason last year. Because it was disclosed that he had pleaded guilty to sexually abusing a young relative when he was 15 years old. That came out last year. He denied wrongdoing in interviews with the New York Times and Sports Illustrated. He said he entered a guilty plea to spare his family the ordeal of a trial. Well, Heimlich is still with Oregon State, and he's the probable starter for the opening game of the World Series tomorrow. And he says he's ready for any kind of reception he receives from fans on college baseball's biggest stage. I remember Tom Hart that yesterday. Is this behind them or will this still be an issue? And he said, no, it's not behind them. It's still probably going to be a thing. And fans may react to it at the College World Series coming up in Omaha this weekend. He did receive a standing ovation when he walked off the mound at his home park for the last time last week. But that's the home fans. He'll be in Omaha at TD Ameritrade Park, and they'll be playing the North Carolina Tar Heels. And they're 1,700 miles away from Oregon and the home fans. They'll have some fans out there, but not like a home game.
Not even close.
Yeah. So Heimlich said today he's not worried about the fans. He said, I play baseball on the field. They can cheer me on. They can boo. They can do what they want. I'm here to play baseball. He has been good this year. He is he's leading the nation in wins, 16-1 record for the Sky this year. He's unbelievable, really. He has 151 strikeouts in just over 120 innings. Well over a strikeout an inning. He was named the Pac-12 Pitcher of the Year for the second straight season. Last year, after the Oregonian newspaper first reported his juvenile record, he opted to sit out the Super Regional, did not make the trip to Omaha. He said about that, it wasn't fun. He said he watched some of it from home. One of the games, he just decided to go on a hike. Another game, he was on a beach. But he kept up with it. So that's going to be one of the stories to watch this weekend with the College World Series. But some good games this weekend. It's always fun. Wish we had some local teams involved.
Yeah, how much are you going to actually watch?
Man, I got the U.S. Open.
No, you've got...
And I've got soccer.
The World Cup, exactly. That was the answer
watch.
I was looking for. You've
and
got the World Cup.
I'll probably pop over there some.
Yeah, and why do we not have the World Cup on right now? We didn't get to see Ronaldo have the hat trick. We've got this big screen TV.
Because we have Phil Mickelson, who's like 10 over par to watch.
Yeah, but we've got two TVs.
Listen,
no,
man,
it's, they're controlled.
If you
want to
control the remote, you come on this side of the board.
Ooh. I don't know if I want to cross over to that other side, right?
I don't recommend it. No, we may have two screens in here, but one remote for both TVs. You can't separate them. Sorry. We can't give you your sports bar experience in here in our studio.
Oh, that's inferior products.
Talk to the boss, man.
Actually, we probably could split off your laptop onto that one if you
want. We plug your laptop into it. You want us to do that?
We could do that.
If that's what you want. If you need it that bad.
Monday, yes, Monday, because I am a little upset we're not watching Ronaldo and Messi.
You're joking, right?
No, this is entertainment. This is sports. This is World Cup. This is FIFA every 4 years.
This is
three
FIFA.
3-3.
No, I know. We flip it over there. I don't
and
even know where it is.
Mother Russia.
I don't even know what channel the thing is on.
By the time I found it, the show was
over. The show's over. Yes, exactly.
We can watch the last 2 minutes if you want. All right. Dustin Johnson still with the 4-shot lead at the U.S. Open. Again, Ian Poulter still out on the course at hole number 9 at even par. Charlie Hoffman is out there at hole number 6 at even par. So those are the two guys that are closest to him. The cut line, +7, so it hasn't moved since it bumped up one from +6. Let's see. We still have Mickelson at +8, so he's still above the cut line, but Mickelson has only played 7 holes, so he has some time. Same thing for Spieth. I guess Spieth and Mickelson are playing together because he's at 8 as well. He's at +8, so he has a chance to make the cut. Anybody else, big names, +9 for Kuchar? Could work out for him to make the cut because he's only on hole number 6. But Tiger Woods at +10 has already finished for the day with a 72. Not a terrible round, but a 78 he had yesterday pretty much did Tiger in, so he will not be able to make up any ground, and therefore no Tiger for the weekend at the U.S. Open. We will certainly be back on Monday to talk about the U.S. Open and the World Cup and the College World Series. So we hope you'll tune in then here to the Huddle on ESPN Upstate at 1 o'clock on Monday afternoon. Don't forget baseball tonight. The Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals. I think the first pitch is about 8:15. Pre-game coverage begins at 7:30 from ESPN Radio. So we look forward to bringing you that. Straight Up with Sturge is coming up next for Lonzo and Richmond. I'm Greg McKinney. Enjoy your weekend. Get out and enjoy the heat, and we'll see you Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock here in the Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.